This episode of the Hard Drive DL is brought to you by our friends at Napa Auto Parts. Conquer the job with Napa know-how.
You're listening to Hard Drive DL, available at harddriveradio.com or download the Hard Drive Radio mobile app.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Hard Drive DL, the Hard Drive Radio podcast. My name is Paulie Walnuts. Delighted to have you with us today as we dive deep into Rockfest at Cadott, Wisconsin. Lou Brutus was out there hosting the event and got to sit down first with Michael Polson of Volbeat talking about what's going on with them. Let's take a listen.
Hey, it's Lou backstage at Rockfest 2017 once again, this time with Michael Polson and Rob Caggiano from Volbeat. Nice to see you, Michael. You look good.
Oh, thank you.
Rob, how are you?
I'm good.
What, I don't look good too?
You look great. You look fantastic. Of course, the obvious question is, thoughts on all these great shows that you did with Metallica. I got to see a few of these things, and it looked like immense fun. Tell me your thoughts about it, because even by your standards now, this I think was a pretty ginormous tour. Michael, you first.
It's been an honor again to go on the road with Metallica, and the shows has been amazing. We're having a lot of great fun. The reaction from the audience are really good. You know, we have a great production with us, using a boxing ring for the first time. Nothing to complain about. It's all great fun, and that's what it's all about. And it's a great package. You know, we're out there again with the biggest heavy rock band of all time, and together with Avenged Sevenfold, who are doing an amazing job too. So we're having a blast.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, the shows have been great. It really feels like, they definitely know us out there, but there's also a bunch of people that maybe have never, maybe they heard the name, or they never, gave it a chance or whatever. And it feels like we're winning over a lot of people too every night. So it's a really good tour for us. You know, the shows have been huge. They've also been very hot too, I have to say. Yeah. the sun has been killing us. But yeah, it's awesome. It's great to be out with those guys.
When you're at a gig, like a stadium, or when you do a festival, particularly Euro Festival, some of which, you don't even know that you can see the end of the audience. I know it's obvious you want to go out there and play the best that you can, but is there anything different you do in your approach to connect with people who might be a quarter mile away or a half mile away?
I don't know. It's always about, feeling the energy from the audience, and it probably takes a couple of times just to get used to a new production. We right now, as I said, we have this catwalk, which is pretty much built like a boxing ring, and it takes a few shows, to get around and just know the stage, and that's a lot of great fun because it's a challenge, and I like the challenge just as much as I think Rob does because when you're touring. A lot of stuff can get into a certain kind of routine. So it's got really nice to mix it up. And playing those stadiums, that's a challenge to reach out to the guy at the main entrance, and I kind of like that. Everything doesn't get the same. And as Rob said, there's a lot of people out there who they might know Volbeat, but we like to think that they are leaving as Volbeat fans after show, or some of them are. And you can only do that by doing your best and try to convince them that we are the real deal. And I think we are. We are leaving everything out that we possibly can with energy and good vibes. And we love what we're doing. And I think people can definitely see that in Volbeat.
Yeah. I just think. Like Michael said, I think we're winning over some people. Obviously, playing in front of an audience like a Metallica audience, it's just that a lot of those people are hardcore. They don't want to hear anything other than Metallica, as you know.
Sometimes maybe four songs before they they're okay out there.
exactly, and that's what I was talking about. It feels like we're winning some of those people over, which is cool.
Rob, is when you first get out on a stage of that size, and Michael, like you indicated, you have this great setup, although it's very large, there's a lot of ground to cover. Is it ever a bit more difficult for the musicians on stage to make connection because you're physically so far apart? Do you miss cues, or do you have to kind of learn things and how you're going to do the show and play the songs under those circumstances?
Well, yeah, I'll start this. One of the main things that's happening for me personally on this tour is using the in-ear monitors, which I've never used before in my entire career. So I learned pretty quickly on that first Metallica show, the first stadium that we did. Yeah, they're basically impossible. It's impossible to play those shows without the in-ears because of the size of the room and, you know, the delay. You know, like Michael was saying, we have this Metallica has this catwalk thing that goes out into the crowd, and as soon as you go out there, you know, every time the drummer hits a snare drum, you hear it three times, sometimes four times. So with the echo and the slapback, it's just impossible to play. So for me, getting the in-ears was crucial, and it's helped a lot. And you know, we're all in in-ears now, so it's cool. It doesn't really matter where we are; we're all playing together.
It's funny you mentioned that too, because after that first Baltimore gig, then I was up in Philadelphia with you guys, and both Rob and Kirk from Metallica told me, I asked about Spinal Tap in Moments, and they were giving each other's the wrong in-ear monitor, so they were hearing what they thought were horrible mixes. Like, what's going on? Have you guys, Michael, I'll let you start on this one. Can you point out any, and again, I call them Spinal Tapian moments where just everything goes south on you. Anything come to mind from this tour or any others?
On this tour?
Been too bad on this tour.
No, yeah. Actually, we've been kind of spot on this tour. It's, there will always be Spinal Tap moments. But yeah, now to think about it, I don't know. Can you come up with anything?
Well, I mean, I guess the worst it got on this run was we almost started one of the songs in the wrong tuning the other day. we each had a different tuning on stage. Luckily, we caught it before we started the song. Yeah. But that could have been a catastrophe. But, you know, just stuff like that happens. It's rock and roll. I mean, everybody's human up there on stage, you know. So, yeah, there's human error sometimes.
What would be, like, common things that happened to you a bunch of times and probably happened to other bands that people might not know about, but musicians are like, oh yeah, it happens all the time?
I mean, for me, it's always related to sound. You know, I've played some horrible sounding shows, you know, and it's just like, I feel like it's made me a better musician. You know, probably the worst sounding show of my whole career was the Big Four show when I was with Anthrax. You know, we had, I don't know, there was like 100-something thousand people there in Sofia, Bulgaria, and the stage was humongous. And the only thing I had in my wedges was, and I wasn't using in-ears back then. The only thing I had in my wedges was Charlie's hi-hat. I couldn't hear anything. So, you know, and it's just like being able to get through a show like that when it sounds, you know, really, really bad, you know, it just makes you a better player. It makes you a better musician. And I feel like I'm pretty much ready for anything at this point. Yeah.
Also, hearing a hi-hat like that, that's got to be a special kind of tinnitus that comes after that.
Yeah.
You know, I'd be curious to hear from each one of you what you might be reading these days, book-wise, magazine-wise, website-wise, because I know that could certainly turn into things musically down the line. Michael, maybe if you want to start this one, is there anything that you've read that you, you know, A, I'd like to know what you're reading anyway, B, anything that might you think provide you germs of songs that might come out later?
Right now I'm reading the book where Mike Tyson is explaining his relationship with the Customato, you know, the guy who took him in. Yeah. Oh, you did?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Wow. Up in Providence, Rhode Island. Yeah. He coached Vinny Pazienza, who was a listener of mine and really nice guy. See him at the bar and stuff sometimes.
Okay. Yeah. But, you know, he pretty much explained how, you know, he got to live with Customato and how Customato is trying to you know, convince Mike that he will be the next heavyweight champion and pretty much just live by the rule of Customato. It's very, very inspiring because, you know, it's he formed that fighting machine of Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson is and was an emotional guy, really. And Customato really put all that kind of belief into Mike that, you know, he could be the best heavyweight of all time. That's a very inspiring book, not because of so much about the boxing, but because of how Customato is trying to actually have Mike growing up in his home. So that's what I'm reading right now.
Good. Do you think that's something that might maybe give you inspiration for songs later?
I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe, you know, I'll say maybe more in the lyrics there could be something, because he had a certain mindset that Custom Auto Dude. You know, he had some really cool lines that you can really dig into and be inspired by. You know, he was reading a lot, and you can definitely sense that in some of his ways to explain Mike how to do certain things. So it could pop up in the lyrics, but maybe not in the music.
Interesting. Rob, same question. What have you read of late? What do you feed your head with? And, you know, is the kind of stuff that would give you inspiration to write things?
Yeah, I'm always reading. I love to read, especially on tour. It's one of the things I love the most. You know, before going to sleep, it really kind of relaxes my brain, you know what I mean? I just finished a book called I'm Thinking About Ending Things, which was a really dark book by Lane Reed. And yeah, it was kind of a head fuck. Yeah, really, really good. I tend to like darker novels, you know, that kind of stuff.
Have you read American Gods?
I have not. No.
Really good. Yeah. The television show came on, I started to read the book, so I did it concurrently.
Yeah, I have actually just picked up one of his other books.
I forget. Stardust?
No. I forget the name of it. Shoot, I haven't started it. My issue is I buy way more books than I'm. I just buy stuff faster than I'm reading them, you know. So they're piling up all over the place.
Same thing with clothes.
Say again.
No, same thing with clothes.
The clothes horse. I know you've got Europe coming up later this year, but if we look down the road for Volbeat the next 12 to 18 months, what do you think it's going to consist of?
Yeah, you know, when this tour is over with Metallica, you know, we're going home for 10 days. I'm going home to take care of my newborn daughter. She's only 2 months old, so I'm looking forward to that. And then we're going on our own stadium tour in Europe. Looking pretty much forward to that. We have two really great opening bands with us, Amorphis from Finland and Flocking Molly. So yeah, a lot of touring in Europe. And when we're done with that, we pretty much go back to rehearsal room, write on new stuff. We have a couple of songs that we're working on right now. And then it's Christmas.
Is there anything you can tell us about the new music yet?
It rocks.
Fair enough. Yeah. Nothing more than that?
No, it's okay. we're still in the working process. Everybody's putting their ideas on top, and it's, you know, I think it sounds great, and you know, but everything can change very quickly. Right now, you know, everything's very solid, and yeah, let's see how it ends.
Excellent.
Listen, always good to talk to the two of you. I wish I was going over to Europe because that bill is great, especially Flogging Molly, who is just, phenomenal, and the sweetest people that you could ever want to go out on the road with, really nice human beings. Michael, great to see you. Happy travels, and congratulations on your daughter. I'm very happy for you.
Thank you very much.
Rob, you look lovely, too, and it's great to see you. A lot of years under the bridge, but you look well, and thanks so much.
Thanks, man. Thank you. Always good to see you.
More episodes of Hard Drive DL at harddriveradio.com. Download the Hard Drive Radio mobile app and keep listening.
This week, Hard Drive is taking you backstage at Rockfest in Cadott, Wisconsin, and my next guest is Sinister Gates from Avenged Sevenfold. It's wonderful to see you. How are you?
I'm wonderful, thank you. How are you? Good to be back with you.
Well, you know what? The last time we were supposed to speak was in Philadelphia, where you were playing with Metallica, but you had familial obligations with the arrival of your son. Tell me about being a dad.
Being a dad is amazing. It's what everybody says, and entirely different at the same time, because you only know it and feel those things once you're experiencing them.
Do you find that you worry? Do you find that it's a little harder to go away from home now?
Oh, I could care less. No, of course. It's intense. It makes every moment away from them absolutely insane. Very, very tough. But we've had times on the road. We've already, my wife is very adventurous. She's already brought them out. We spent 4 days in Houston on the last leg of this tour. We had 4 days off, and it was incredible, unbelievable. So I get to see him.
Are all the guys in the band now, is everybody a dad?
Everybody is a dad.
And did you get any tips of any kind from the rest of the guys?
Yeah, they're they bloviate constantly about what and what not to do. And they also say the one thing is you'll find out for yourself what works for you. And that is probably the truest part.
Well, you know what? It's a shame you're not in high school still, because you could write the coolest "What I Did on My Summer Vacation" essay on your return with the touring you've been doing, particularly these shows with Metallica. I know what a fan you are of them. Tell me about all of these shows, which I know have gone so well for you.
Well, the shows are incredible. I mean, the moments that are great is when you have the support of those guys. We've known them for a while, and they truly are within the industry as wonderful and as magical as their music has been for their fans, for their legion of fans. They were very supportive when we had to cancel a tour. And unbeknownst to a lot of people, I actually had to sacrifice a couple of these shows initially to block out around my due date. And so, like, Boston and a couple of different ones we didn't get to play, but they were all very, very supportive and said, when you can, which ones can you do, let's do it. When I had to cancel that one, James got up on stage and that night and said, "You guys see Avenged Sevenfold? Well, either did we. That's because Sin is having a baby right now, and family is what it's all about. Here's Sad But True," and then dedicated a song to him. So, and then gave me gift baskets full of stuff. I mean, they just came backstage to congratulate me. I mean, they're truly real, real human.
Did you ever think that the day would come where you'd be getting a dad shout out from Metallica? Because that's not even anything you could think to put on a bucket list, because it wouldn't seem like it would happen.
Yeah, it's the kind of shit that you can't write. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
very cool.
Good point. Now that you've had time to perform and really let the stuff from the stage out and breathe live, what are your feelings about the record? What does the feedback seem to be on it for you?
Playing the stage has been absolutely amazing. It's my favorite record so far. You know, you eventually hate the records and you do something completely opposite, you know, but we haven't gotten to that point. And we're still releasing new material for this record, which is a really exciting process. And as a fan, I can only imagine if one of my favorite bands kept releasing material, I'd be super stoked. And fortunately, you know, we have a great team that can keep doing this. But I mean, it's still fresh to me. It's still awesome. And I think the optics of it are great. You know, it's our best reviewed record we've ever had, which blew my mind, because I just thought people were going to say, "Hey, this thing sucks and you guys' heads are way up your own ass," and they kind of were, you know. But we wrote exactly what we wanted to do, but we did maintain that strong sense of musicality when we concentrated on melodies and hooks and stuff like that. You know, we just went off the deep end on a couple of things and had a lot of fun. You know, is it the strongest selling record at this point? I mean, those concerns aren't for us. And, you know, it's all about the long game, and we'll see. But we are definitely really enjoying this cycle that is the cycle of the stage.
Excellent. You know, it's interesting that you say, you know, having a favorite band just regularly coming out with music. An example I always use is the Beatles, who, you know, might put out an album every year or so, but they were always coming out with EPs and with singles. Is that maybe a little bit easier to do nowadays? Because it's, you know, you can drop a song or two on iTunes and not have to go through a big machination of things.
Yeah, I think it's definitely the time and place to do exciting, new, innovative type of things. And listening platforms are changing. I mean, there's things like adaptive listening where you can jog and it speeds up as you're speeding up and kind of work out to some stuff, and the songs change into different songs. You know, it's kind of turned into like a Rubik's Cube of writing. We haven't really explored that yet, but I'm excited to do so. So yeah, there's a lot of great technological developments. You know, music's marrying with tech. It has a little bit for a while, but we're on the precipice of some really, really great stuff, and I'm truly looking forward to embracing all those things and using those things and experimenting with those things, because I'm definitely a futurist, and it just only breeds excitement within my heart, you know.
How do you stay informed on those things, and then how do you begin to integrate with something that you've learned about, that you're excited about, that you think, oh, here's something that has a something practical that we can do in the creation of music?
Well, we have a great team. I was introduced to an incredible guy named Matt Sandler, who founded Chromatic, and he works for a bunch of different things. I don't know what is secretive and not so, or not so. I won't go into too much stuff, but he's a great facilitator, and he's introduced me to different things and famous accelerator company TechStars that has historically done just like Silicon Valley style tech. They did their first introduction into music. And so I was there at their demo day and just witnessed, you know, a plethora of different amazing companies trying to bring, you know, money back to the artists via, you know, the said $26 billion left on the table from concerts to, you know, the allocation of royalties and how faulty the banking is and how, you know, like cryptocurrency backed, like blockchain type of securities are going to integrate with different musical allocations and really, really kind of solidify, you know, the artist or bring the artist and the business a lot closer. So it's basically they're trying to democratize these things for everybody, and they're actually able to do it with the technology that's presently being used by other tech companies or being invented by these particular companies. Very exciting stuff.
I gotta let that soak in for a sec for a follow up. That was really I'm not trying to be funny. I'm dead serious about it. Do you think a day could come for Avenged where folks might immediately be able to, upon walking out of a show, just literally just go to Avenged Sevenfold's site and go, oh, I just attended the show at Rockfest in Cadott, Wisconsin. Download it now where you get immediate downloads and maybe go through entire back catalogs of tours or anything like that. Do you think you might also be able to go back to all of the studio recordings and all of the demos and all of the outtakes? Think Beatles Anthology, where there's, you know, dozens of different versions of things. Do you think that a day might come where maybe Avenged specifically and other bands generally would make all of this stuff available in a way that fans could go in and pick and choose?
I absolutely think that that's possible. I think anything you kind of think up is very possible depending on what you've thought up and the time constraints, you know, but that is something that would just take a lot of elbow grease, you know, and sifting through all the archives, us personally, because I know our demos are, you know, we have stacks of CDs from different iterations of different songs that don't even sound like the same songs anymore and completely different songs. So to file that, to find it, then file, categorize, all this kind of stuff, it would take a lot of time, but certainly the technology to have it, you know, immediately at your fingertips is certainly already been there. But a particular app for something like that could be very, very cool.
Yeah. I hear you guys are planning something for the fall tour-wise, and I don't know if you know or if you can say. Can you? Do you know?
We're still looking into the fall stuff right now. There is honestly nothing in the works there, but there's tons of places to go. We're always looking, at places that we need to go. We're working very diligently on trying to put some stuff together for January and February. I don't know. It's a tough time, you know, the weather is incredibly crazy, and
on health too.
Yeah, you know, without going into all the crazy details that would just piss me off as a fan, I can just say we're working as hard as we can to get everywhere and anywhere possible. There's a bunch of places that we need to return to, a bunch of places that we haven't yet gone to, and we're really, really excited to be on the road, and we're working diligently to continue to do so.
You guys picked a super interesting song to cover, Retro Vertigo, Mr. Bungle. How did that one come out? Because that hit me out of left field. It was an interesting choice and a great choice, but one that I never saw coming.
Thank you. Yeah, we're really excited about that song. I grew up listening to Mr. Bungle. Jimmy introduced the band to me, and it was our favorite band with our favorite record, the original one, not the one with Retro Vertigo. That's on California. But ironically enough, it was Matt's idea to do this song. I think I showed him a video, a fan-based video for the original Retro Vertigo, and it is just sick and twisted and amazing, and we all had a great laugh while we were writing. Pretty blown away by that video. You definitely got to check it out. And it really just inspired this kind of old, re-inspired this old idea to do some covers. I think we wanted to do a bunch of them back during the White Album, but different things just transpired, too much stuff were going on or whatever it was. So we thought, hey, what the hell? We kind of could add these songs, you know, to the record later, or who knows what we could do with them. And we decided that it would be fun to delve into this stuff and see where it went, and then kind of evolve the record to kind of give it more life and generate excitement for kids. You know, they're getting more content. It's just it's exciting for both parties, you know. But yeah, that one in particular, sorry about that tangent. We wanted to do something a little bit different with it, and kind of not, I hate when people say make it your own, but for lack of, because it's never your own, right? You know, it's always going to be a worse version. Very rarely do they become better, but different is important, and we definitely did that on this one, and it was just fun to transcribe the song and get into it.
Did you ever get to see maybe Faith No More live, or Tomahawk live, or any of the other associated acts?
No, I was one of the very unlucky ones that didn't, attend concerts frequently. Jimmy saw all those bands. Matt saw all of his favorite bands. I never got a chance to see Pantera. I've seen not really even Guns N' Roses the way it originally was, you know, when it was the amazing chaos that everybody knows it to be. Recently, which it's amazing, they sound freakish, you know, but never like full original lineup, full, you know, in their heyday. Never got to see my top faves, so unfortunately. We'll try next time, next lifetime.
If you had your druthers and you could put together a tour, just the bands you wanted to pick to come out with Avenged Sevenfold, who would you take out with you?
Let's get Mr. Bungle back together. Come on, guys. You know, quit your squabbles. Let's do it. Pay some money. You know, other than that, like, you know, we're touring with them. You know, we've toured with Guns N' Roses and Metallica presently. I mean, there's definitely a lot of great bands. I mean, I'm a huge fan of like Lana Del Rey, to go off kind of on the deep end of eclectic, you know, listening material and stuff, but I think she's a brilliant artist. Sometimes, you know, it's got to be in the right sort of genre for it to work or whatever. But tons of weird stuff. Weezer's great. I mean, I listen to all sorts of weird shit. Snoop Dogg.
Why not? I mean, I saw them. I saw Snoop out on the road with Linkin Park on the Project Revolution tour, and it went over like gangbusters. It was really, really good. Are you a student at all of music and the business and the concert industry? I bring it up because I collect old posters, and some of the old Bill Graham Presents posters from the West Coast. You would see the Woody Herman Big Band opening for The Who. Or you would see these folkies opening up for Vanilla Fudge, who were like a metal band of the very early 70s. Do you collect any music memorabilia like that? Do you study things that have gone on decades before out of interest or just to try and learn from?
Yeah, I can't say that I'm an aficionado on any of that stuff, but when particular information comes my way and it's, you know, about the Beatles or certain things like that. But to your point, I think the old variety show, you know, that's what that's kind of predicated on. I think that's absolutely brilliant. You go and you see, you know, a really eclectic bunch of different acts, you know, and I think that it all works. And if it's great music, I think people, most people can be pretty open-minded, you know. And if you see, like I said, all these great artists in one spot, how could that, How could that be bad? I mean, I'm not a promoter, so I haven't lost millions of dollars on one of those ideas, you know, and maybe they have.
They say.
Yeah, exactly. And now my wife left me, and there's this. So, but I definitely love the idea of the traditional variety act for sure.
Back to the subject of future technologies. Is there anything that you can foresee or you've read about that's coming down the pike that would make bands be able to present themselves in a different way, whether the music or straight up music or in a performance setting? There are things being done in with VR where people can, you know, sort of be in the room with the band as they perform. But is there anything else coming down the pike that a band would be able to do to perform, to present themselves in some other way other than traditionally showing up to see them or just watching it on a screen?
It's hard to say, aside from like the VR or even augmented reality. I think the communication between band and fan is becoming greater, which I'm excited about. There's a company called Shimmer, S-H-I-M-M-U-R, I believe, and they have an incredible like social media-esque sort of system where they've created an algorithm where you can vote up comments. You can post comments yourself, but you also vote up your favorite ones and you vote down the trolling. So if you said what set list would you like us to play, instead of having to sift through all that kind of stuff, you can actually just, you know, read the top one and it's already aggregated for you, which I think is pretty cool. So certain things like that. I don't know about stage, or I'd have to think on that a moment, but yeah, definitely some really, really cool stuff.
Good. Well, listen, as always, I very much appreciate the time and am sincerely happy for the addition of the son to your family and for your wife and the associated family, who I'm sure are all buzzing like bees around something like this. So congratulations and continued success. And boy, oh boy, I'm so happy for the summer with Metallica for you. I know how happy you are for it.
Thank you so much, my friend. Yeah, it's really, really good times. And you're one of the real ones, and I really appreciate seeing you as much as we can, and I appreciate the interview.
Well, that's very kind to say, and I think it's just music nerds like hanging out with other music nerds talking music nerd shit. I think that's just basically what the job is. That's very nice of you to say. Thank you.
Thanks again to Sinister Gates of Avenged Sevenfold for taking the time to sit down and chat with Lou Brutus, but they're old buddies. They've known each other a long time at this point. Also want to thank you for checking out Hard Drive DL. We love having you with us every week, and I'm glad we could take you on this trip around Rockfest. If you want to know more about Hard Drive Radio, you can check us out on the web at harddriveradio.com or on the socials at Hard Drive Radio on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. As always, thanks for checking out the DL. We'll see you next week.
This is Hard Drive DL. Check out more. Download the Hard Drive Radio mobile app or visit harddriveradio.com.